Welcome to the CyberIQ Weekly Podcast, your essential briefing on the latest in global cybersecurity, privacy, and regulatory intelligence. I am Alex.
And I am Sarah.
Sarah, it has been a packed week, kicking off a dense deadline corridor this summer. What are the top stories our listeners need to know right now? Alex, we are seeing three major developments that demand immediate attention. First, Canada has tabled Bill C-34, the Safe Social Media Act, proposing a 16-year minimum age for social media accounts and mandatory age verification for upload-enabled pornography sites. Second, in Washington, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, or CISA, has issued a new binding operational directive, BOD 2604, giving federal agencies just 3 days to remediate the riskiest vulnerabilities. And third, Brussels has published the final code of practice for labeling artificial intelligence, or AI, generated content, 52 days before the AI Act's Article 50 transparency duties apply. Underneath these headlines, we are entering a critical 5-week period, with more than a dozen compliance dates landing between June 13th and July 15th.
Let us dive into Canada's proposed social media ban. This sounds like a significant move. What are the specifics of Bill C-34?
It is indeed, Alex. The Government of Canada introduced Bill C-34, the Safe Social Media Act, in the House of Commons on June 10th. This is arguably the most consequential child safety bill in the country's history. It proposes a 16-year minimum age for social media accounts, though exemptions are available for services demonstrating sufficient child safety safeguards. Crucially, pornography sites that permit user uploads face mandatory age verification with no exemption pathway. The bill also introduces statutory safety duties for public-facing AI chatbots, including mandatory responses when users express suicidal ideation. It will enact a Digital Safety Act and create a new regulator, the Digital Safety Commission of Canada, with enforcement through compliance orders and administrative monetary penalties.
How does this compare to previous efforts or other countries' approaches?
This bill is narrower and more operational than the lapsed Online Harms Act, Bill C-63, which did not pass. Instead of policing 7 categories of harmful content, C-34 concentrates on age assurance, design duties, and chatbot safety. This aligns with the regulatory models we are seeing in Australia, the United Kingdom, and a dozen United States states. The timing is also important. Canada's Office of the Privacy Commission is currently consulting on privacy-preserving age assurance until August 4th. Their draft guidance, focusing on minimal data collection, deletion of inputs once an age signal is generated, and necessity and proportionality assessments, effectively sets the privacy baseline that platforms will need to meet.
So, what should companies be doing now in response to this? Platforms should map Bill C-34's scoping criteria, which include designated social media services, AI chatbots, and upload-enabled adult sites, against their product surface immediately. They also need to track the Digital Safety Commission's rulemaking powers as the bill advances, especially since second reading debate begins within weeks. Waiting for royal assent will put them behind.
Moving to the United States, CISA's new directive on vulnerability fixes sounds incredibly stringent. 3 days to remediate the riskiest vulnerabilities is a tight turnaround. Can you elaborate on binding operational directive 2604?
Absolutely, Alex. CISA issued binding operational directive 2604, titled Prioritizing Security Updates Based on Risk, on June 10th. This directive replaces calendar-driven patching with a risk-scored regime for federal civilian agencies. They must now score vulnerabilities against 4 criteria: asset exposure, presence in the known exploited vulnerabilities catalog, exploit automation, and post-exploitation technical impact. If a vulnerability meets all 4, it triggers a 3-day remediation requirement, plus forensic triage to check for prior exploitation. Agencies have 60 days to update their remediation processes and 180 days to fully meet these new timelines.
This sounds like it could have implications beyond just federal agencies, especially for cloud service providers. Is that correct?
That is correct. The cloud dimension is critical. For federal systems hosted in third-party and federal risk and authorization management program, or FedRAMP, authorized environments, each agency must maintain an inventory and work through the FedRAMP Program Management Office for compliance. This means cloud service providers serving federal customs are now effectively within the directive's blast radius.
If a cloud service provider's vulnerability disclosure and continuous monitoring feeds cannot map cleanly to these four risk criteria, their agency customers will struggle to meet the three-day clock.
And how does this interact with other federal cloud policies?
BOD 2604 lands in an already crowded month for federal cloud policy. FedRAMP's consolidated rules for 2026 finalized by June 30th, replacing legacy baselines with FedRAMP-certified certification classes A through D, and retiring the FedRAMP-ready designation on July 28th. Providers juggling the CR26 transition now have a second significant operational mandate to address.
So what is the key action for cloud service providers and federal agencies?
Cloud service providers serving federal agencies should map their vulnerability disclosure and continuous monitoring feeds to BOD 2604's four risk criteria before agency process updates fall due on August 9th. They should also confirm their Rev 5 versus 26 path ahead of the June 30th CR26 drop.
Let us turn to Europe now. The European Union has published a code of practice for labeling AI-generated content. What does this mean for companies developing or using AI?
On June 10th, the European Commission published the final voluntary code of practice on marking and labeling AI-generated content. This is a practical bridge to the AI Act's Article 50 transparency obligations, which apply from August 2nd, 2026. The code specifies how providers of generative AI systems can mark audio, image, video, and text outputs in a machine-readable way. It also proposes a set of standard icons that deployers can use to label deepfakes, fully AI-generated content, and partially AI-altered content. For an industry that has been asking what Article 50 compliance actually looks like in production, this is the first concrete answer from the regulator itself.
Is this code mandatory, or do companies have a choice?
The code is voluntary, but signing it offers a presumption of conformity pathway that materially simplifies enforcement conversations with the AI office. Companies that decline to sign must document an alternative route to Article 50 compliance. While defensible, this means building the evidentiary record alone. It is important to note the deadline interplay. While the digital omnibus defers most high-risk obligations to 2027 or 2028, Article 50 transparency duties were left untouched and arrive on schedule. The marking obligation for systems placed on the market before August 2026 received a shorter grace period under the omnibus deal, cut from 6 months to 3, landing on December 2, 2026.
What should companies do regarding this code of practice?
Companies should review the code's marking specifications against their generative AI output pipelines by mid-July and make the sign or document alternative decision before August 2nd.
Sarah, you mentioned a dense deadline corridor. Can you give us a sense of the sheer volume of compliance dates coming up?
Alex, the defining feature of this summer is not any single regulation, but rather the convergence of many. Between June 13th and July 18th, at least a dozen hard compliance dates land across every domain CyberIQ tracks. This includes Japan's Payment Services Act stablecoin framework on June 13th, United States Basel III comments closing on June 18th, the United Kingdom Data Use and Access Act complaints handling duty in force on June 19th, and Australia's Search Engine Age Assurance deadline on June 27th. Then, on June 30th, we have the Network and Information Systems Directive 2, or NIS2, first compliance audit deadline and FedRAMP CR26 finalization.
That is a lot for June. What about July?
July 1st is a quadruple wall. The Markets and Crypto Assets Regulation, or MiCA, crypto asset service provider hard stop across the European Union, four United States state age verification laws in Nebraska, Connecticut, Colorado, and Louisiana, China's outbound investment regulations, and its TC260 personal information standards. Following that, China's anthropomorphic AI interim measures take effect on July 15th, and the Guiding and Establishing National Innovation for U.S. Stablecoins Act, or GENIUS Act, statutory deadline for federal stablecoin rules is July 18th.
This really paints a picture of a shift from rulemaking to enforcement. Are we seeing this reflected in recent actions?
Absolutely. 2026 has shifted decisively from rulemaking to enforcement. First quarter General Data Protection Regulation, or GDPR, fines reportedly jumped nearly 400% year over year to an estimated 68 million euros.
Ofcom in the United Kingdom, the Federal Trade Commission in the United States, the Commission Nationale de l'Informatique et de Liberté, or CNIL, in France, and California's Attorney General are all running active enforcement dockets. For instance, the Federal Trade Commission finalized its Illuminate Education order on June 5th over a breach affecting 10.1 million students. CNIL issued a 5 million euro penalty to IQVIA on May 26th for breaching authorization conditions over health data warehouses. And California saw its record California Consumer Privacy Act, or CCPA, settlement with GM and OnStar for $12.75 million, the first enforcement of the data minimization rule. The European Union's machinery, including the scientific panel, advisory forum, and common reporting templates, is being staffed for scale.
So, for compliance teams, what is the practical response to this cluster of deadlines?
The practical response is triage. Companies need a single 30, 60, and 90-day deadline register across all domains, with owners assigned per date, and a standing decision rule for what gets escalated when two deadlines collide. Teams that treat this corridor as one program, not 12 separate projects, will come out of July intact.
Sarah, can you quickly summarize the most critical actions our listeners should prioritize this week?
Certainly, Alex. First, map your product surface against Canada's Bill C-34's scoping criteria, which include designated social services, upload-enabled adult sites, and public-facing chatbots, before the second reading. Second, file your Basel III endgame comment letters by June 18th. Third, deploy your United Kingdom Data Use and Access Act complaints handling procedure before June 19th. Fourth, for your AI governance leads, review generative AI pipelines against the European Union marking code and decide whether to sign or document an alternative by August 2nd. And fifth, for federal cloud service providers, map your continuous monitoring and vulnerability feeds to binding Operational Directive 2604's four risk criteria before agency process updates fall due on August 9th.
Thank you, Sarah, for that comprehensive overview of this week's critical developments and deadlines. That is all the time we have for today. Thank you for tuning in to the Cyber IQ Weekly Podcast. For sources and the full brief on all the stories we covered today, subscribe to the Cyber IQ newsletter at cyberiq.com. We will see you next week.